I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short. Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. The show you're about to hear today was originally aired in October of 2013. With me today are two local guys who don't buy the official story of 9/11 and have spent a lot of time researching the facts and spreading the word about the lies of 9/11. Gary Fox has his own cable access TV show called 9/11 Illumination in the Middletown area. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hello, Cheryl.
And also with me is Carl Seeger Henry. He's a volunteer with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, working on the Rethink 9/11 campaign. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And, of course, thank you for your fabulous show and your works as well.
You're quite welcome. Now, both Carl and Gary are musicians and have been working on a project called Trusic with the support of the other members of the Connecticut 9/11 Truth Group. Carl, could you start by giving us a little bit of background information on how it came to be called Trusic and what this project is all about?
Sure. I've always been involved with music production, and I've always had the feeling that there's probably a great many artists around that are aware of what's going on at 9/11 and might be in the process of creating music that addresses the events of that day. So as I've started looking into it, of course, the word got out that I was looking for bands and songs in that regard, and people started sending me stuff. I was astonished by the quality of the material that people were sending me in all genres of music, and really from all over the world. I mean, I've gotten submissions from Finland and Australia and Canada and England and all across America. And really, I haven't even started asking yet. We've just been networking with the architects and engineers and amongst our local group. So it's really just kind of begun, but I've become aware of the quality and the passion that musicians are exhibiting as they put some of these songs together. It dawned on me that if we could put together a little DVD with some of these songs, we would be able to create kind of what used to be MTV-type videos, except that we wouldn't be calling them just music videos. It would be a combination of truth and music, hence our term Trusic. So we're coming up with a series of Trusic videos. We just have selected the six songs on our first DVD release. Our partner here, Gary Fox, is in the process of being our video jockey, and he's recording segments between the songs that will direct people to pertinent websites like A911 Truth or Rethink911.org. And we're trying to use music to just kind of raise awareness of what's going on and kind of get people's attention on another level other than just the spoken word.
And Gary, how did you get involved in this project?
Yeah, well, I met Carl a couple of years ago, actually, at one of the when Richard Gage spoke here in West Hartford. And he came up to me, and we started talking, and he's like, I'm a musician. I'm like, yeah, me too, and I'm writing songs about 9/11. I said, you know, I am too, and we were on the same page immediately, and I listened to his song, and it's excellent, Building 7, The Smoking Gun. It's a great folk song.
And I listened to your songs, and they're excellent, and I said, boy, Gary and I have got to work together on this, because you know, we're both going the same direction here.
And you realize, you know, I think a lot of 9/11 truthers, or whatever you want to call us, there's a lot of us out there, but you feel alone because you don't see it in the mainstream media.
Right. It has become a taboo subject to talk about in the mainstream, even with friends, family, whoever. So I think that's one reason why the music is a great idea, because I think it can break through that taboo if people get it through a different medium like that.
It does communicate on another level. It reaches people emotionally in a different way. It's a totally different animal that we can bring to the fight, and we should, because there's people creating music throughout the world that's really exceptional. Hopefully we're going to be able to package a lot of it and put it together. I know with our first 28-minute DVD, we're trying to get it on cable access television across America. I'm active in the Architects and Engineers cable access team. We try to get the 9/11 documentaries out. And we know that there's a way of getting these kind of videos out there across the country, and it'd be nice to have a little music to break up a stream of documentaries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. All the engineering documentaries that have been put together are excellent. You know, there's tons of them out there. We've been watching them for years now. But a song, you hear it on the radio and you're driving in your car, and if it connects with you, you might not even listen to the words, but you like it. And then all of a sudden, you start listening to the words and you say, hey, we need to open up some more minds, you know.
We really do.
Yeah.
So both of you gentlemen have written songs and sung them on this video. So Carl, yours is the...
My song's Building 7, The Smoking Gun, which is, I designed it for a purpose. The purpose being a very simple song that's set up lyrically for people that have never even heard about Building 7. Mm-hmm. I don't get into any kind of complexities. All I do is say that Building 7 was a smoking gun because it came down in 6.5 seconds and we need an investigation of what's going on. So we chose to lead off with mine, and then we went through a series of other artists on the DVD and we kind of build it. We build the productions. One of the songs from England is kind of a Phil Collins kind of feel. Then we have another fellow from England that has kind of a heavy metal, scorching rock version.
Well, let's take a moment now and listen to the song you wrote called Building 7, The Smoking Gun.
Sounds great.
And for those who don't know about Building 7, and according to recent polls, nearly half of Americans don't, it was a 47-story building, part of the World Trade Center complex. It housed the CIA, the records for the investigation into Enron and WorldCom. It had also a Mayor Rudy Giuliani's Emergency Management Center and other government agencies. It was not hit by an airplane, and yet it collapsed at 5:20 p.m. on September 11, 2001. And it was interestingly reported by the BBC and CNN that it had collapsed prior to when it actually had collapsed. How did they know? It also wasn't mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report except for one small footnote. There was a New York City housing employee, Barry Jennings, who was in Building 7 in the morning of 9/11, and he said explosions had gone off in the building, and he was walking over dead bodies. He mysteriously died. No one really knows of what or how, sometime after making statements about this. It also came down in 6.5 seconds, some of that time in free fall, meaning there's no resistance. And if you go to YouTube or go to Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth and look at a video of Building 7 falling, I mean, it looks like a controlled demolition. I'd encourage you to check it out. There are also many people who reported hearing a countdown before the building came down. And even the owner, Larry Silverstein, when asked some months later on television on an interview, said that there had been so much loss of life that they decided to pull the building, which is the industry's term for controlled demolition. So that's Building 7. And here's Carl's song, Building 7, The Smoking Gun.
Building 7, The Smoking Gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells it true. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. At the World Trade Center, three buildings came down, hit by two planes, panic all around. But Building 7 had barely a scratch, not hit by plane, yet it still collapsed, and office fires were blamed for that. Building 7, The Smoking Gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. The first responders saw molten steel. They heard explosions, swore they were real. And we all watched a scene surreal. Those buildings fell with roaring blast, a demolition controlled and fast. Building 7, The Smoking Gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. We want the truth. What's the real cause? So many questions, it gives one pause. The official story, so full of flaws. Our leaders command us to just move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. We're here to tell you we won't move on. 'Cause Building 7's the smoking gun. We see the truth about what was done to me and you and to the world. It tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. 9/11, Building 7.
So again, that was the song that Carl Seeger Henry here in the studio with me wrote called Building 7, The Smoking Gun.
And I wrote that and recorded that in collaboration with my partner, Mark Saunders, who is a great help in putting together the music and some of the lyrics. And we recorded it, and our buddy here, Gary, played bass on it. So it's a small group. There's only three of us actually doing all the performance.
So a real collaboration. That's great. Yeah.
Mark's a great guitar player and mandolin player.
Yeah, Mark is something else. And he added a lyrical content that really kind of took the song, I thought, to another level. So, and again, it shows all of us musicians know this. There's nothing like collaboration. You know, as good as you may be separately, when you can kind of bounce ideas off other musicians, it really reinforces everything. And you have each other as critics, so you can make things clearer, more precise.
Well, I'm impressed that we have all this local talent. You guys write these songs, you sing them, they sound great. And I've never met Mark, but I thought that song was really well done. Yeah. So nice job on all of you. And Gary, then you wrote the song called Michael, Mohammed, and Emily, which I've been listening to now for several years when you first gave me a copy of that. I think that's really fabulous. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how you created that and why? And
that's mostly in reaction to the Iraq War, the run-up to it, and how the cheerleading goes on in the national media. And speaking of artists, the Dixie Chicks spoke out against invading Iraq, and they got crucified by the industry and by their fans. I mean, they just got torn apart. And now we look back and we say they were right. You know, there was no weapons of mass destruction and all that. So anyways, after seeing all this happen and also seeing Osama bin Laden morph into Saddam Hussein, and I remember a point in around 04 when they did some kind of a poll, Fox News viewers believe Saddam Hussein pulled off the 9/11 attacks. I mean, they got people thinking something that was completely not true. And watching this happen.
And I wonder how many people still believe that.
Well, I think the administration at that time subtly, and not so subtly, sometimes overtly, tried to make that connection as much as possible between Saddam and 9/11 just by mentioning it in the same sentence. I don't think they actually ever came out and said...
I think there was somebody who I just read. There were over 900 times in the media where Bush or Cheney or Rumsfeld were there making the connection between 9/11 and Saddam.
To the point where they actually accused him of being responsible?
Not overtly. If you listen, yes. I remember listening very carefully, and they're careful. They know what they're doing there. Mm-hmm. They're subtle about it. But you kind of know what's going on. And watching a country, Iraq, that was modern, and was functioning, you know, the people were living well there, and it was a secular country, kind of what we hope for, you know, around the world. Okay, Saddam Hussein could have been a dictator, but ask anyone there now, was it better now or after the invasion? I mean, a million people killed, refugees.
This is a
everywhere.
Travesty,
it's horrible. So this song, Michael, Mohammed, and Emily, is written This one, I'm speaking in the voice of a soldier who's leaving his wife and his daughter, going off to fight. And he knows deep in his soul something's wrong. He knows he's not fighting for what they're saying he's fighting for. It's for those guys. And it's for the moms who lose, whose sons don't come home. And daughters, too, who don't come home.
Right.
I mean, that's what really gets me.
So let's listen to the song. So here it is, Michael, Mohammed, and Emily by Gary Fox.
Send me off and pray for me. I'm off to kill the enemy. If I don't make it back, please don't call me a hero. Heroes are not terrified. They always make it home alive. Brave and strong, their eyes sparkle with pride. But not me. Not me, I'm wired differently. Something deep inside of me questions what they're telling me. Shouldn't be such a big deal to want to know why. I'm flying halfway round the world, kiss goodbye my little girl, and lie to my wife that it'll be all right. I know what I'm not fighting for. Not for God, not for country, not for my mother's love for her son, not for Michael, Mohammed, or Emily. I'm not fighting for anyone. I hear Mary Tillman and I see Cindy Sheehan, and I wonder where they get their strength. There must be something higher, the oxygen in their fire. How godlike they are to offer up a son. But for what? For what? I don't know. Not for God, not for country, not for my mother's love for her son, not for Michael, Mohammed, or Emily. I'm not fighting for anyone. Not for God, not for country, not for Mohammed or Emily. Am I fighting for anyone?
Again, that's Gary Fox's song, Michael, Mohammed, and Emily. And the video with that is very touching, so I want to encourage people to go to you. That's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, if you search up Michael, Mohammed, and Emily, you'll find it on YouTube.
The video in that would make you cry, so it's worth watching.
Actually, that's true with all the songs that we're discussing. They're all on YouTube as well. And you could, like Gary said, search Michael, Mohammed, and Emily. My song, Building 7, The Smoking Gun, will come right up on YouTube. So if people want to check back and actually see the video, because it's kind of hard to watch on WWUH, the videos are really nicely done and they're quite moving.
They are. They are. Yeah. They're very moving, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about, you have another four songs on the DVD. Another one that we're going to play is Martin Noakes, and his song is 9/11 Building 7. Do either one of you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I've actually kind of develop a bit of a friendship with Martin. He's a music producer in England. I think he's based in London. He does a lot of work. He's got a great production studio. And this one song is, it always kind of strikes me as kind of a pop Phil Collins kind of arrangement, but on a very, very deep subject that hopefully will reach a lot of people.
It's a real catchy song. As a matter of fact, I was going to sleep last night and it was running through my head. It was running through my head.
Martin Can't get Oak's it out
song.
Of your head.
Yeah, which is good. And Carl's song is another one that people who have listened to it, they love it and they sing
they keep
singing it throughout the day.
That's the point.
Yeah,
so. Actually, all these songs, I have exactly the same experience. I really liked all the songs when I first started it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I really love all the songs because the more you start listening to these, there's a depth to all of them and there's a passion that the artists bring that it's overwhelming. You can't watch and look at these videos and not respond to what these artists are putting out because it's, and everyone's doing it free. It's a matter of doing what's right.
Right.
You know, we have a moral humanistic obligation to get this information out there. And you don't produce a music video in 5 minutes. I mean, it takes considerable effort and a lot of time and a lot of work. It takes a while. It takes hours and hours.
Yeah. And what to me is so, I guess moving is the word, is that there are these people all over the world doing this. It's not just us. And people care. They want the truth about 9/11.
They do.
And if it's one thing I want the listeners to take away today, not only the great music and the efforts you guys are all doing, but that there are so many people who know that we've been lied to on 9/11 and who are really working to get at the truth. And even though we're coming up on the 12th anniversary, it still affects our lives.
Sure.
The wars that we're in, our civil liberties being taken away, everything. You know, our financial situation, all the money we've spent on these wars, it's all tied together. So it is really important to get at the truth. I'm hoping through our music, the songs that you've created, this puts us one step closer to that. And so why don't we listen to the next song, the 9/11 Building 7 by Martin Noakes from England.
Correct.
There's a million reasons why I don't believe it. There's a million reasons why it can't be true. Open fire can't melt steel. It's not hot enough. It's nothing new, it's not a mystery. Check out the Reichstag, Germany. There's a million questions still. Like the towers, it just fell. The fire's not enough. No way hot enough to bring it down. The project for the new American century was added to a year before that day. It states in order to proceed, a modern day Pearl Harbor. Set them free. The project for the new American century. Fire's not enough. No way.
again, that was just Martin Noakes singing 9/11 Building 7, which he produced. And again, the video with that, the DVD and the video with that is excellent. So you can go to YouTube and check that out. Look for 9/11 Building 7.
And he sang all the harmonies on it himself. And when you hear those harmonies, boy, they're tremendous. Yeah.
Well, all these three songs were just excellent. What do you hope the outcome will be of this video? You know, why'd you do it? Why do you put all the time into it?
It's important. It's very important. I have kids. I have young kids in school, and yeah, they're being raised in a world where probably the most important event of this century, 9/11, is being hidden from us. I mean, the truth about it is being hidden. And I'm a curious person. I can't just accept the BS. I can say BS. It's hard to accept once you know. You can't go back into that closed room of
blissful ignorance.
Blissful ignorance. Yeah. I can't go there. Sometimes wish I could. It's a lot easier living that way. But I think it tears at your soul, at least mine and Carl's and yours, because it's important.
I think the other thing also is that we're doing what we can do. Everyone, when they enter into the truth movement, we all have skills and talents. We have to figure out what we can bring to the table that has the most bang for the buck and go after that. I mean, I'm not a physicist. Mm-hmm. I'm a singer, songwriter, producer. So obviously that's what I should be doing. I shouldn't be doing calculations to prove scientific facts. This is what we do. So this is our means of contributing to making people aware of what's going on in their lives, which I agree is tantamount. It's absolutely imperative that people become aware.
Yeah, and the deception has been so great and the cover-up so great by almost every level of our government. I mean, it's taboo at almost any level of government to talk about that, to bring it up without being ridiculed. So I think it's really important that at a grassroots level we do it, because it has to come from the bottom up. It's not going to come from the top down. So I want to applaud you both for all of your efforts in this. It really is impressive.
And Cheryl, we thank you for having your show.
That's
and everything
right.
You
do. Without you, Cheryl, we wouldn't have our voices here.
Right.
Yeah, that's my strength, I guess.
That's you know? Yeah. You find your niche to develop it. And and if you look at our Connecticut group, by the way, we should plug our Connecticut group, because we're always looking for people to help us with our various endeavors. And boy, we have a lot of endeavors here in Central Connecticut. We've done a lot of outreach, and we're always looking for people to help us along.
So if anyone is interested,
let me give you my email address.
Okay.
specialvoices@cox.net. Yes, if anybody has any interest in contacting any one of us, a good way to reach us is through my email, which is specialvoices@cox.net. And special voices is one word.
Thank you both for being on the show.
Right, thanks, Cheryl.
And to the listeners, please go to YouTube and download this first TruSic video and take it to your local cable access TV station. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.